Welcome to Geeks North, a hobby gaming podcast from La Belle Provence. This week, Antoine and I are celebrating our one-year anniversary, so we're going to be doing some reminiscing. So sit back, relax, grab a paintbrush, and enjoy the show. Welcome to another exciting episode of Geeks of the North. As always, I'm your host, Paul Filion, here with my co-host, Antoine Bergeron. Hey, Antoine, how's it going, sir?
Going really good. How couldn't it be after a year?
Yeah, I know. With you. It's tough to believe we've been doing this a year already. We didn't quite get as many episodes out as we intended for a year.
No, we didn't.
We were supposed to be 24. We got to 18. It's not so bad for first try, considering, you know, both of us had kids and all these things came out of nowhere. Have to say, overall, I'm pretty happy.
Yeah, me too.
You know, I think the show has been more successful than we originally intended.
Yes. Yes, it was.
And then maybe not as successful as we'd hoped once we saw our initial success.
Yes.
but that's okay, right? There's room to grow, but it could be a lot worse.
Yeah. So to our first year?
To our first year. Little toasting going on. Sorry if that deafens anyone.
That was a plan.
a little bit of cider going on here. All right. So as you may have guessed, this is going to be our anniversary episode. Pretty standard stuff. The usual format, hobby times, games, news. We got an event announcement coming up. And then we're going to go on our main topic, which is going to be, you know, a bit of an overview for what we've done this year, and maybe talk about some things to come and answer a couple questions. We'll see how we feel when we get there. That being said, we've got Antoine's new section that I've completely forgot about, but it's in here. No, it's not in there.
Yes. One second.
Antoine, it's in the notes, man. I know. Work with me here, Antoine. Is it supposed to be in the notes?
Yes, it's supposed to be there.
So it is there.
Yes.
Okay. We're sure now. Okay. So the cool stuff found this week by Antoine. Take it away, dude.
Okay, this week I stumbled upon something on Dakadaka. It was it's a conversion for some Tyranids. The name of is Highfleet Marrow the Furiosa by give you the name of the poster. Lushin, but the first L is a capital I or something like that. What's cool about that conversion is that for most of the models, the Eye Tyrants, most of the small guns, the guards and everything, he did some crazy plastic art wings with all holes. They look like insects' wings, and they are really, really cool.
Yeah, you know what? I'm looking at this now. They're pretty slick.
At first, I thought it was all like a lasered cut MDF, something like that. Maybe yeah. A kit by all. No, the guy did all that by hand.
Well, he is definitely a special shade of crazy.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of work in there. Paint job is okay.
Yeah, the paint job is okay. It looks well. It's not golden demon level, but it'll look
good on the table, right?
Yeah. But the work on the wings and the number of models they have, like the guns, they're what, maybe 50, 60 guns?
Something I don't know. Like that. It is a lot with the little fly
they
wings.
They all have their small fly wings. And after that, you have the bigger models with their bigger wings with holes in them. And they look really, really cool.
Yep. No, definitely a cool find. It's amazing what some people do, eh?
Yes. So we'll share that in the show notes so people can go look and see.
Yeah, and this is the type of conversion that it's not a skill level thing. It's a dedication thing.
Yeah.
Because I think it's fair to say that pretty much anyone could do this. Like they have the skill set to pull it off, any hobbyist, or almost any hobbyist. But the initiative to do something like that on that scale is pretty impressive.
And the dedication to keep going on with for a whole army. Wow.
So props to him, because I wouldn't have been able to do that. I can't even get my basic armies painted.
Yeah.
Forget the conversions.
Yeah.
Jeez. That's a good find, man.
So that was the cool stuff I stumbled upon since last episode.
Okay, well, it deserved the title of cool stuff. I'll give it that. And that takes us to hobby time. So my hobby time is really, really kind of boring lately. I'm still working on those knights. I haven't had a lot of time. I was away last week for a work trip in Palm Springs. You know. And people are going to be like, oh, poor you, had to go to Palm Springs. But let me tell you, Palm Springs in July, not necessarily the fun place I expected it to be. Well, it was like 108 degrees.
It was too hot.
Yeah, yeah. It was brutal. It's a dry heat, but it's still brutally hot. So yeah, I couldn't exactly take hobby stuff with me on a work trip. I was tempted to. I almost did, but it didn't happen. So I came back and, excuse me, I've been working on my knights. I did some basing last night. So layering cork and three different types of ballast, trying to build something that looks interesting. What did you just roll your eyes at me for?
Oh, no, I can understand why it's work. Yeah. Doing big bases like those. And if you want to have them interesting and not just flat sand.
Yeah, it's tough, right? So doing something to try to make it look a little bit interesting. It's not, you know, competition level basing or whatever, but at least it's better than just, you know, flock or something. Aside from that, I assembled the Scorn battle box.
The battle box or the army box?
The battle box.
Oh, you assembled the battle box part of the...
No, actually, I had a battle box that I got from Adepticon, right? Which is kind of... I've been looking at Scorn for a long time. And when I got the battle box, I'm like, well, you know, I love the Cyclopses, so it gives me those. And gives me the Titan. I'm like, well, you know, I'll assemble them. And then I ended up getting the army box, too. Which I assembled some of and loaned to our buddy Chris. So I figured I'll assemble the...
Did he need more models? And then that's why you assembled the battle box?
No.
That was for you this time?
It was there, and I was like, oh, let's get that out of the way and get it done. I'm going to be trying some experimental painting on them.
Oh.
Well, so the typical Scorn color scheme, right? It's that red with gold trim. And I was kind of wondering if I paint them gold, and then do a red candy coat on them. What would that look like? So I think I'm going to do gold and silvers as my base coats, and then red candy coat the whole thing. So I think it'll give me an interesting effect.
Yeah, maybe.
And then maybe I can escape having to do all the filigree and all the... Yeah, we'll see. I can be hopeful. It may be a quick and easy way to paint the army.
Yes.
Because to be honest, I'm looking forward to working on like the flesh on the Titans and like the ivory, the tusks, all that stuff.
But the armor.
But the armor, it's giving me like, you know, shades of my Circle of Orbros army. So I'm just having a hard time getting into it. So like, if I can find a way to paint them fast and make them look nice, which I think the metallic with a candy coat on it will look pretty interesting, because the reflectivity of the metallics will come through.
Yes.
But with the overall red tint, and I figure I can do...
Might look like like blood-soaked golden armor?
Yeah, or maybe something like a lapis lazuli, but like in red instead of blue. So I'm hoping it comes out looking cool. And then also, I think if you listen back, or if you remember listening to our TumbleCon episode, I talked about how I speed-painted a Sacral Vault for Dan while at the event. It was launched at the event, and I painted at the event. I've actually started continuing work on that. I took it back. I said I was going to finish it up for Dan's birthday, because he just had his 40th like I did. And he's got an outstanding commission with me. I'm like, pick a model, whatever you want, I'll paint it for you. So once I've done this, I'll get another model to paint. I think he was talking about, I want to say epic, but I don't think that's the right term. Abraham Lincoln from Wild West Exodus.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like the second one. Super Abe. So he assembled him. I think that's what I'm probably going to end up with as a commission piece, but it'll be fun. And you know what? To save time, I think I'll just go right into my game, so don't go back and forth, because my game section is quick. I didn't play anything, because I wasn't here. But it's actually due to that week away that I had time to edit that last episode, so I guess it it was a good thing. You know, for my hobby time, I could say I edited episode 17.
You did something else during for the Abbey. Didn't you have an airbrush session with them?
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah. So that was really this week. It wasn't my hobby. I spent an evening trying to give Dan some instructions on airbrushing. And I think it went well. I mean, it was basic stuff. I was giving him a couple basic exercises. I don't know if I made you do it the grids.
Nope.
But I think you've seen me do it before with the dots, where I make dots of varying sizes, and then I make dots in like a grid shape, and then I connect the dots with the airbrush.
I've read that somewhere, but I don't think I've seen it done.
So it's a really good drill if people are trying to practice their precision with the airbrush. And it's not hard. You just do it on a sheet of paper, and you make your dots of varying intensity, and then you connect the dots. And it really helps you get that targeting with the airbrush, because
the targeting is important.
that's the chief thing, right?
Yeah.
And I'm very, very precise with the brush, because I spent a lot of time doing that drill, so I seldom miss.
That's the kind of thing I need to do more.
Yeah. So I had Dan do a little bit of that, and then we did some basic airbrushing, Zenithal, what is his name?
Bradigus.
How did you know? Oh, so we talked about it.
Yeah, maybe and the model was Facebook. At the store also when I went Thursday.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so we started doing that, and we did a little bit of work on the stones, because Dan was going for it. So I have a gray stone. Like his Sacro Vault, he wanted a like a terracotta looking thing. So we did a couple of colors for that. And he has, he picked up his airbrushes at like a yard sale. So he paid $60 for, $80 for two airbrushes and two compressors. So crazy good deal, but they're probably as old as I am. So one of them has some troubles, needles. He has three needles with only one nozzle, and he didn't realize they were tapered and fit to each other, so you can't just swap needles and use it, with the same nozzle. So that one's problematic. But the other one he has is a siphon feed external mixture.
Okay.
The button is it's not a dual action, so single action. So the button just releases air.
Yeah.
And you adjust the spray by turning the external feed on the bottle. So it's like a two-part adjustment.
Yeah.
The airbrush actually works really well. It works far better than his internal mix siphon feed one that he had does. But it's a matter of getting used to it. And also his compressors have, they need some tuning. They're tankless. And they have a pressure regulator, but one of them does not want to seem to output less than 40 PSI.
Oh.
And 40 PSI for siphon feed is not bad.
Yeah.
But if we thin the paints properly, it still sucks that paint right through in no time, and you've got paint everywhere except on your model. So we're fine tuning it. But I actually loaned him my spare compressor and my Badger Patriot, so he could do a little bit of practicing with that too. So yeah, but it was fun. Spent a few hours there working on that with him. And then he asked me if I was going to teach a class at the store or something. I'm like, yeah, no. we'll see. Maybe someday. So yeah, okay, that finished up my hobby, and the games is still nothing. So why don't we go into your hobby?
Okay, my hobby section will be short. The only thing I did was finish the Star Wars Armada Commission I mentioned last show, the Wave 1 extra ships, all the Wave 1 that's not the core box
right.
stuff. So I add the Imperial side to finish. So I'm done with the TIE Fighters, Bombers, Advents, and Interceptors. So two of each. Done on the Canon paint scheme, so pretty dull gray stuff, except for one of the TIE Interceptors that was done red as a Royal Guards. So that's all I did hobby-wise. All I finished hobby-wise. I did a lot of cleaning in the hobby room, and I finished assembling...
Yeah, it looks wonderful, by the way.
Yeah, it's... Well, it looks wonderful. It looks clean. It's still a rough table on a rough concrete floor. Yay! But it's less cluttered than last time you came by.
It's not that rough. No splinters. Yet.
Oh, yes, there are. I have some.
I said yet. It's all good.
The only thing... I finished prepping the Dead Jack, but I only put him on cork pieces and...
Yeah, and you were talking about that that wasn't actually in a show. We talked about it in one of our hobby sessions.
Yeah, hobby session.
Over Hangouts, you were at the chalet, the cottage, working on Death Jack, and complaining about the number of parts.
Yeah, it was a crazy number of parts like for 38 pieces or something like that.
Well, it's like the Sacral Vault. The Sacral Vault itself is like 4 pieces or something stupid. But there's like 8 million little candles and skulls that just go everywhere on the...
Well, but at least those are not exceptionals, but optionals.
Not necessarily,
but because they have circuits and stuff.
Yes, exactly. Oh. Some of them do. Others don't, but some of them do.
Yeah, no, the only thing optional on the Dead Jack is there's a small soul coming out of his chest. Okay. With the soul cage, you don't really see it. So you could put it or not. Like the official model doesn't even use it.
Okay.
But and there's also 3 spikes on each of his gauntlet that you could put or not.
Those character jacks are still all metal, right? They never got redone?
There's 2 small resin pieces, the 2 chimney on the back, if you look at it. No, you can't see it from here, but...
No, I can actually see it.
Oh, yeah, from where you are? Okay, yeah, that's the only resin pieces are the 2 chimney.
Yeah, they should really redo those character jacks in plastic.
Yeah. They don't sell enough of each.
Yeah, they're not the main focus they were at one point. Like, they were kind of the cat's meow, you know, the behemoth, the avatar.
But they still do, but...
Old Rowdy still sells. Old Rowdy's still a great...
You only need one.
Yeah.
And the plastic costs more. That's why they did the conversion kits. To put on the plastic models, but they didn't stand out enough, so people were not really happy with the results.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. I mean, the metal's nice.
But most of the new stuff comes, the big pieces are in resin now.
Yeah.
So.
I feel like any of the Colossals or anything like that.
And even some of the new, they redid some of the beasts, like, didn't some of the Scorn Mammoths, like the bronze back, doesn't it come with resin now?
Yeah, I think
like,
so.
Like the torso or something like that.
Yeah. I don't know. There's still some things like when I was assembling my Titan, there's a giant gap around his waist where his waist fits into his hips there.
Yeah.
And I filed and I scraped and there is no reason for that. There is no excuse.
No, especially you have the plastic one.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
Not the old metal one, which were all warped. Yeah.
Yeah, which again, there was still no excuse for. Because they were warped from the first casting right to the last. It wasn't like GW where
they were 2 big pieces. I had the same problem with my Troll Molar.
Well, Kador Jacks, right? All my old Kador Jacks used to have the Kador Gap, they called it, at the top, where you have this giant hole between the front plate and the top of the armor.
Yeah.
I know, but still. Anyway.
So that's all the hobby I did. So pretty loose, but I was on vacation part of the time and went back and took some time off to do houseworks and stuff. And played more Wii with my wife instead. So, more Mario.
The Mario addiction?
Yeah.
Need to get Smash Brothers. I'll never see you again.
No, I don't think so, because it's a versus game.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah. No.
I see the problem.
That's something
right
I
away.
Can do with,
right with away, Mario. I see the problem.
And it's a fighting game on top of that, so... Not only being it competitive, but
the only fighting won't be in the game, right?
Yeah, it would be outside of the game, so no. But it's a really good thing that Mario is a cooperative game, and already we can throw each other down in the chimney and hit each other accidentally.
The screen or whatever by accident.
Yeah, so we already kill each other enough in a cooperative game. I won't go into a competitive game with her.
So what games did you play aside from the...
This time I did something else than computer and card gaming. So I played 50 points War Machine games with Papa Guillaume.
Okay.
Yeah, Pigs versus Cricks.
Also known as Guillaume number 3.
Well,
technically he was Guillaume number 2?
Number one? 1 or 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. But him and Guillaume are pretty
But as far as the podcast,
For the podcast listeners,
He's like Guillaume number 3.
Yeah. So, cool game. We played that here. A big grind. I had maybe 30, 40 models on the table. Guillaume had a Bane Swarm also. So, it was a cool game. Epic Gorshade versus Midas. So, cool game. And the night after that, we started the Journeyman League at Gamers Vault. Week 1. So, the Wednesday night, I played like 50 pigs or something like that. And the following day, I played three games with three models each. The Battle Box with Arcadius and two Warugs. So a lot smaller games and far quicker too.
Is Arcadius the guy that can use some circle beasts and stuff? Was he the one you're talking
one
about?
One of his team force allows the Garax.
Right, right.
Yeah. Then you were, he got a second team force in one of the No Quarters. And okay. That one allowed the Gorax.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, am I seeing this right? You played against Yom in the Journeyman League?
Yep. Yom entered the Journeyman for a first for him to get his Legion some playing time. I think he played them once before. So it was his second Legion game, something like that. So I played against Yom. He was playing Tagrush. I played against one of the local allies. Was playing Dominar Rashet for Scorn, and I played against Daniel Arsenault, which I played against maybe a month back. Was playing the new Anson Durst for the Protector of Minot, the new Paladin caster on the big guy on the medium base.
Right.
Well, with the big spear and shield.
Yeah, he looks pretty cool.
Yeah. His rules are cool too. It was cool to see on the table, so I can't wait to get a game against him, but. At a bigger scale and not just Battle Box.
So what was it? Two jacks? Or...
He had two reconners, I think. The one with the giant mace and the...
And the missile launcher?
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, so three cool games. I chose Arcadius to have... Well, first to challenge myself, because I only played Imps once, and I'm not used to play the... like the old man caster. Which he really is. He's super squishy, but he got lots of support. And I usually play the in-your-face casters, like Carver for my pigs, or Borka and Madrax for my trolls. So,
poor Madrax.
Yeah, it got me out of my comfort zone. And also, Arcadius is, except with the new team force, is not considered one of the best caster for the pigs. So, as there's a bunch of new players in the league, it was also good to have a small handicap on my side.
Oh, so you got new players in the league. That's always good.
Yes.
I kind of always thought the Journeyman League ended up being a bunch of veteran players just using it as an excuse to start a new army.
Oh, no.
That's why I've never really played in it.
I did two Journeymen. It's my third Journeyman that the Gamers Vote in 2 years. And last league, I think we had 20 or 24 registrants. And half of them hadn't played in for more than 3 months.
Oh, wow, that's really impressive.
Yeah, this time it's a lot smaller. It's during the summer.
Yeah, people are away on vacation.
They knew it wouldn't take a lot. I think we have 10 people registered, something like that. And maybe half of those are new, or a third at least. So there are new players. So it's cool. And a bunch of players switching factions also.
And it's every week?
Every week for 6 weeks. 3 to 6 weeks.
And it's all painted, right?
Nope. But do you have points... for the stuff you paint in your factions. So how it works, you play a game. If you win, you get 3 points. If you lose, you get 2 points. And you can play as many games as you want. And for each model you paint, you also get points. And at the end of the league, the guy who got the most points, both painting combined and playing score. Combined, yep. Gets the overall league winner. But you also have a patch for the guy who got the most points in games. And a patch for the most points in hobby.
Yeah, part of also. The league kit.
Yeah. And this time they added, as it's summer, they added a bunch of achievements. Crazy stuff like a box rolling a snake eyes on an important roll, or throwing a model on a warcaster, or...
Okay, cool.
A bunch of crazy rules, like they call it the Wacky Achievement League this time.
Okay. And the scenario-based? Is it steamroller scenarios, or...?
You can play steamrollers, I think, starting in the base league. No, it's scenario based, but use the basic rulebook scenarios, which there are already 6 scenarios.
Didn't even know there were scenarios in the rulebook.
Yes, there are 6.
I've never seen them played.
Yeah, for first week, it's really simple. You play Tooth and Claw or Mangled Metal, which is you kill either the caster or all the jacks or all the beasts. So. That's what we played first week.
Okay.
And after that, you have 2 different scenarios that you can play. And most of the people allow switching for steamroller scenario once you get at least at 25 points.
So you just show up and see who's there and play the game?
Yeah, the only restriction is you cannot play against the same opponent twice.
Okay.
On your record sheet, that's all.
Can you come into this late?
Yes, no problem. There are still 4 weeks left. So we're at 25 points next week.
Oh, I thought last week was the first week.
Last week was, but yesterday was the second day.
Oh, I forget. Yeah. That makes perfect sense, right? All right, and then it looks like you still had...
yesterday for the league, I had something planned before they started with our Mr. Daniel Astrano, which I already mentioned. We had a claim of Relic Knights planned. So we brought back our Relic Knights, and if we had time after, we would play some War Machine for the league. I didn't end up playing a second game, but Daniel, I know, played a bit more after. And it had been a while since I played Relic Knights last time.
Yeah, so it's always like the trying to refresh yourself, like, how did this work again?
So we were missing stuff. The game didn't took that long, maybe 2.5 hours, maybe, for a 50 points game. And it was really, really fun. It came to the last activation. Like, if I killed Daniel Model, which the objective I got, two of the four objectives I had were based on killing units. And there's not a lot where you have to do that. And I missed killing his model by 1 point of damage.
Ugh.
Because the turn
stole
before,
it from you.
That model was able to kill one of the guy in my squad, and that guy gave me a +1 damage. So if he didn't kill that guy, I would have been fine. And the activation after he was able to finish his own objective to achieve enough points to sudden death the game.
Right.
And if he wasn't able to do that, next turn I had something that was able to do the last damage point. So it came to the exact last thing. So it was really, really cool. And awesome. The game was fun, close. We had a bunch of strange rules that we've noted because looking in the FAQ on the web while you're playing...
Yeah, it always slows things down.
It slows things down. So
it's like you're playing Infinity.
We did the regular 4+, but with the cards instead. Well, your first one that rolls his energy type gets the rules on his side. And we just continue playing and noted down to be able to check after. But the game was fun, and we're going to have another one as soon as the War Machine League is done.
Awesome. Cool.
Yeah, you should get yours.
I dug it out. I started going through it, trying to figure out what I'm going to play. Sorry, folks. The Infinity shot was mostly because Yom just walked in, and he's a big Infinity fan. So I took the opportunity to stab him a bit, poke the bear.
Hello, guys.
It is my function in life, I think. All right.
And that was it for my games.
That was it? Okay.
Oh, yeah, a bunch of... Hearthstone, but I will stop mentioning that because I play every day on the train, so it's not worth it.
It doesn't count anymore.
I know.
All right. So why don't we take a quick break? Let Yom come in and sit down, and he's not joining us on the show, I don't think, but he's going to hobby or do something while we're making fools of ourselves. So we'll be right back, geeks. And we're back. All right, folks, let's talk some upcoming events. So I'm going to go right into something I've been working on since last year. Some of you may know this person, some of you may not. She goes by the name of the Miniature Mistress online. Her real name is Elizabeth Beckley. Elizabeth is a professional painter, best known for working for Cool Mini or Not. Probably if you've seen any pictures of Arcadia Quest, it was her that painted those miniatures. And this year she won a crystal brush for her Whistle Pig miniature, which is a whiskey golem from Weird's Malifaux game. Yeah. So she's going to be coming to Montreal, much in the same style we did with Meg. She's going to be teaching a master class. Details are to follow. We're looking at first weekend in November. So I believe that falls on the 6th and 7th of November. 7th and 8th? Okay, 7th and 8th. That's good. Good. I'm organizing it, and Antoine knows when it is. We're looking at a slightly different structure than we did before. So it's going to be a two separate days, two different sets of curriculum. So I think it'll have something for everyone. And if we can get at least 10 people a day, we think we can get the cost down to about a neighborhood of $60 US per day, which is awesome for 8 hours of instruction from someone of that caliber. So we'll get more details to come on that. And I just want to say I'm really looking forward to it. And Liz is a great person, so you come to the class, you'll really enjoy it.
After that, this one is far away, but it's important that we mention it for any people local. And they open, run by the Norton Defender Group. They announce their date for ND Open 8, which will be May 7th and 8th, 2016. That's 2 months later than they usually do. But they changed it because of Adepticon dates getting earlier and earlier every year. And it's getting too close to their normal dates.
Makes it hard for people.
Yeah, and it makes it hard for them because they all of those guys go to Adepticon, and it makes it hard to run both if they're 2 weeks apart.
For sure.
Yeah.
But has Adepticon announced if they're going to be running a Warhammer Fantasy tournament yet?
No, I don't think so.
Right, and I think ND...
The dates are announced, but not the...
Has ND announced if they're doing Warhammer or Age of Sigmar?
They'll be doing both. At least for that they're looking at doing both.
Playing both sides of the fence, eh?
Yes. Another big change, and that's the important one, it will be held in Montreal instead of Quebec, as it has been for the past 7 years.
Yeah, true, because it was the one in the fall that was with Kiss.
Yeah, Kiss we were running in Montreal, and the Open they were running in Quebec. But they with the Messe des Officiers at Valcartier, they're getting... Less problems getting the room, and some restrictions are added every time.
With the officer's mess.
Yeah.
Sorry, you slipped that in French, so I'll translate.
Okay. Yeah.
So yeah, the event is run at the officer's mess at the Valcartier military base.
Yes.
And they can't book the room.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they can, but
it's challenging.
You couldn't be dressed as civilian now, so you couldn't wear jeans. You cannot bring food from outside, and then a bunch of restrictions are added every time because they have a caterer.
Right.
So you cannot bring any food.
Yeah.
And they don't have any problems renting the mess.
Yeah.
So they're going for the people who pay more, probably, or right, are higher class.
It's the story of every gaming event.
Yeah. So it will be held at the Long Point Officers' Mess in Montreal instead.
Right. Which is where we held
Kessler's last year. We have held Kessler there for the past 2 years.
2 years, yeah.
So this means that also the Norton Defenders show, the painting contest run by Mathieu Fontaine, will also move in Montreal because held during the same event at the same place. So,
well, we should try to corner Matt for an interview.
We should. Well, we have time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, he's a busy man. We should book him now.
Yes, we need to book him now, but we have time before we have to do it. So that was the big news for the local events here, for local gamers.
All right. So I guess that that takes us right into the news section.
Yes.
For broader news. And I guess I'll just go through my picks, then we'll jump over to you.
That's fine.
My first pick, Reaper Bones 3. Now, last episode we talked about it, I mentioned that there was something big coming, right?
Yes.
And it's been shown, it is out there, and it is not Tiamat. Wink, wink. It is Maldrakkar, the Dragon Tyrant, who bears a passing resemblance to Tiamat. Yes. Trademark. Yeah. So, it is an awesome fig. It is huge. You see
it's the size so of that big.
If you thought Dragons Don't Share was big, this makes that piece look small.
Yeah. I don't know if it's on the same size as Kang, maybe?
I think it's bigger than Kang. Having seen both in real life.
Kang might be bigger because of the scenic bases.
It's tough to... Well, that's also on a scenic base.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It's on a big temple thing. But the problem is, what I've seen so far... So I saw the green,
mm-hmm.
and I've seen the resin cast. Now, bones, when they produce it, it shrinks.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know what the
shrinkage... It might end up a bit smaller.
Right now, what I've seen is bigger than Kang. The end result may be a little bit smaller, but still going to be a huge piece.
Yeah.
And I think it's a $60 and US
add-on. It's a bit wider because it's
the wingspan
an Hydra, multiple heads. And
all the heads. I think it's a $60 add-on to the Kickstarter.
$60 for that.
Yeah. I mean, $60 US, so it's like $45,000 Canadian. But with our current exchange rate. But yeah, it's still a good value.
Yeah, and that holds for everyone who wants to attend the Elizabeth Beckley class. If you're from New England, it would be pretty cheap for you to come get a class here.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Northern, people in the northern states, Mr. Chastney, we're talking to you. It's actually quite cheap. Staying in Montreal, you can probably get a hotel room for $60-$70 a night, Canadian, that time frame, which, in American dollars,
it's 1.3, so right now something like
1.3, so 40 something US a night for a decent hotel room. Hard to go wrong. And learn some skills you can apply to your fantasy armies. Oh wait, that game is dead.
Hey Steve, out of this buddy.
Oh, we're so mean. Okay, next up. So Spartan has started shipping its Halo Fleet Battle starter box. The starter box is called the Fall of Reach. And a little surprising. So the box has a rulebook in it, a bunch of tokens, a bunch of dice, plastic ships, injection molded plastic ships.
So oh, I didn't know they went to injection.
Yeah,
oh,
so none of the traditional resin that we've seen. I didn't know either. And they actually come, the plastic comes color-coded. So there's purple plastic for the aliens and gray plastic for the
Spartans. I don't
know. I want to call them UCM, but it's not the humans, the Yumis. But what surprised me is when I was looking at the unboxing videos, I realized the dice that come with they're not standard dice. I think it's a whole new rule set.
Oh yes.
I originally thought it was a Firestorm Armada derivative, but it doesn't appear to be at all.
No, I think so. I think it's a completely
new. I think it's completely new. So that's interesting for them because all the rule sets are basically the same with tweaks, right?
Oh yes, yes.
So to go completely divergent, it could be interesting to see what it plays like. Maybe that rule set will go somewhere else, right?
Yep, maybe it might translate to a newer edition of Firestorm Armada maybe.
That could be cool.
Or other stuff. We don't know.
That could be cool.
It depends which one plays better.
Maybe someone will license it and bring back Babylon 5 or something. Yeah, I'm dreaming. It's okay. It's okay. I'll go back in my hole. And last but not least, I don't know how many people have seen this. I mean, it's been all over the web. Privateer Press every year for Gen Con releases a kind of, not limited edition, but limited release model. And they'll make it available at other conventions over the year and down the road at other, as the years go on. But it is a Blindwater Brew Witch Doctor. But instead of like the traditional Gator Man, it's a hot chick dressed up as a gator carrying a stuffed animal pig. She looks awesome.
A stuffed animal pig voodoo doll, I think.
Possible.
Yeah, there's also a drunk pig on the base also. But I'm pretty sure it's a voodoo doll.
Whatever it
because
is.
Because the Witch Doctor is a voodoo.
It makes sense. It is an unit. Awesome model. Yeah. And I mean, last year they did the Blighted Bather. Right, which I didn't like as much, and apparently Yom is working on it right now.
Yeah.
Coincidence? I think not. They've done the Druid Gone Wilder. They did
the Bombshell Bombardier. Bombardier? Okay.
I think she's called the Bombshell Bombardier.
Well, yeah, it's my pronunciation was I called it a Bombardier.
Bombardier.
Well, in French, too much French in
English. Yeah. Because we don't have that funky.
And there
French
was also the Soul Keg Protector.
Yeah, that's right. That was the one I was forgetting. I'm like, there's another one in there. Anyway, awesome, awesome models. They have a really good sense of humor. Release these limited release stuff, and I'm totally gonna have to pick up one of her at TempleCon.
Oh yeah.
When I go, I will definitely. I'll be in line for that model.
Or you can also order it
Through their website right now.
Through
right?
their website during Gen Con.
During Gen Con.
Yeah. So the show might be. Out at the start of Gen Con. It's next weekend, so you have a week.
And it's just the two of us? Yeah, it's possible. It's possible I can get this out this week before I go on vacation. I
Yeah.
leave Wednesday morning, so I'll be editing like a madman the next few days. Sold. Yeah, and that's it for me for news picks.
Okay, on
What
my
about with you?
side, Red Republic game, who I've run the RNRX Kickstarter. They just have their grand opening, which means they're not available for sale on their website, the whole range. So any people who want can now get RNRX, the gladiatorial combat game. The minis looks really, really good. One of the local Francois got some of them, and
Yeah,
they look good.
I almost backed that Kickstarter just off the look of the minis.
Yeah,
And then I
it's on
realized
my
I will
list
never ever
to
play
try
it.
out. Why? The rules looks cool, Evan.
How many games do we have that have cool rules that we've never played?
I played the
Or
Relic
play like
Knights last
once
night.
every year?
Oh, that's fine. That's enough for me.
Well, I'm trying to streamline.
I know. Adding more of those just makes it harder for any of them to get played.
Right, exactly.
But yeah, they look really good.
Yeah, and I'm
And
just.
the casting is supposed to be of a really high level also.
Yeah, I was looking to see if. What's the name of the studio?
Red Republic game.
Red Republic Games. Let me just check something here.
I don't think they've done anything else under that name.
No, I was looking to see if they were available to pre-order.
Oh, maybe.
At Gamer's Vault, but I don't see it. But I do, however, see that the Halo Fleet Battles Fall of Reach is available for pre-order. So you can go to your local gaming store or Gamer's Vault if you're in Montreal, and they can
Or
get that for
any
you.
place that gets any of these Spartan game stuff, you'll be able to get the Halo game.
Which isn't that many in Montreal. I don't see a lot of people really doing it.
Yeah, probably they can have it, but they don't stock it. Next news, GCT Studio, who have released or have put on pre-order their new faction for Bushido, the Tengu Dissensions. They're all the Japanese Tengu, which are like all men or stuff like that, something like that.
Yeah.
All people. So they look good, and as always, their painting is top-notch, so it sells the model even better.
Yeah, no, they look really awesome. That I was gonna say kind of falcony guy with the bow looks outstanding. And it's the problem is I see these models and I go, wow, they're amazing looking. And if anyone listened to our Gen Con episode last year, we talked about Bushido and how we thought it was a really cool system.
Yes.
But I see these paint jobs and I want to cry. Like, because I can't paint like that. My model will never look like that.
I know. Their painting level is so high that it's kind of discouraging.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going backwards here. I think I mentioned last episode with the Reaper Bones Kickstarter, they were doing some paint sets,
Yes.
some special colors. I saw some people working with the NMM Gold paint set they're releasing. Caleb Wissenbach, who you may know, and who else was trying? Mr. Justin was going to be trying it on an Iron Man model from Night Models.
Okay.
And wow. I mean, these guys are top-notch painters too, right? So they know what they're doing. But the color set looks sweet. So I'm actually, did I miss the Kickstarter yet? I think it's still on for a
Bones,
bit. Yeah.
it ended this morning, I think.
Did it end this morning? Gonna make me sad. Excuse me, folks, while I realize that I forgot to order stuff on Kickstarter and I raced to the website. I mean, there's other ways I can. 18 hours to go.
Oh,
18 hours to go.
sometime.
I'm just going to order some paint right now while Antoine continues his thing.
Next. Next and last for me is Rudix. I
My
need to
God.
plug them every show,
Did you
so.
see the other Space Mouselings, Antoine?
No, the space ones don't interest me really. I'm not a sci-fi guy, so.
It's a mouseling with like a rocket launcher with a Terminator missile pod on its back.
Yeah, but where would I use that?
I don't know. I'd find a way.
Yeah, the muslings at least I could use for Mice and Mystics,
That's
or
true.
when it will come out, Telfeller. And I also have the Mouse Guard RPG, which I could use the models for. And I'm more a fantasy guy than anyway, so I could do some scenes with them or some dioramas. They are nice though. There was an entry at ReaperCon with the space mouselings on a giant Gouda or something like that.
Yeah.
I think we mentioned that in a previous show, maybe. So they look good. So my new pick, Relics by Tor Gaming. We need to plug them every show, so here it is. They
actually have a contract with them. I don't know about Anduval.
No, we don't have.
I
wish we had.
Don't get me wrong. I love them. I think their models are awesome. I think their game is great. I just think it's funny that we slide them in. That gets awesome.
It's my favorite game, so that's a way to. I don't think they know we mention them every show.
I don't know. I know they've commented it before.
No, we might commented on that.
No. They what's his name? Help me out here.
Gavin.
Didn't Gavin comment once about us mentioning the show?
No, I don't think so. I think Yom mentioned that on the Miniature Attic Facebook group.
Yeah, but I think he got tagged in anyway.
Maybe. I don't know. I might have missed that.
But yeah, it's our mandatory
mandatory plug. So they have released their Slow Grow Leagues format coming soon. It will be what they call the Chronicles League. It will be a way to get new player in the faction, get them painting, and get them to play a bigger and bigger game as the weeks go by. We'll add a link in the show notes to the info that's out yet, and the full rules for it should be coming out in the next month.
Awesome.
And that's it for me.
Okay. I'm just going to confirm my pledge on Kickstarter here. And woohoo, I'm in. Okay. So if you want anything from the Kickstarter,
add $10 for the mouselings.
We'll talk later. All right. You heard it here first, folks. We are super geeks. Okay. What's next?
I think we're off to our main topic.
Oh, God. We can't go right into that. Let's take a break. Okay, we're back. And we're back. All right, folks. That's what you've been waiting for. The main event. No pressure. I built that up a little bit. Yeah. Seriously, though. You know, Antoine and I have been kind of struggling what we're going to talk about in this. And we don't want to do a traditional, like, recap episode. Because we did one of those at Christmas. We don't really want to make you listen to a best of last year, you know, all over again. We kind of did a couple episodes ago that sounded kind of like that. And it bothered Antoine and I, so. We're just kind of go a little over our highlights, maybe a couple things we that really stand out for us, and maybe talk about what we went into the podcast expecting and what we got out of it in the end, you know, what the differences were, and I guess that's about it. So we'll start off. I think when we started doing the podcast, we really didn't know what to expect. We knew, and I've been bugging Antoine for a while to do this actually.
Oh yes.
Maybe as much as like a year and a half, 2 years, jokingly. And then I went out and bought all the equipment and became serious.
Yeah.
And we just felt, or I felt anyway, that we had a lot of good thoughts and opinions on games. And we spent all our time talking about games. And maybe other gamers would find us interesting. You know, we're not super critical. Even stuff we don't like. If you listen to our Age of Sigmar episode, with the exception of maybe Yom, who has a little Sigmar voodoo doll at home. The rest of us were pretty mellow about it. We don't particularly like the game, but, you know, people do like it. Like, good for them. At least they're playing something.
Yeah, and you mentioned, even if we didn't like it, we still analyze it pretty fairly.
Yeah. I think we give a pretty good analysis of it.
And we mentioned all the good points. They're just not good enough for us to justify playing the game. But we can see why some people might like it.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, this year, I went to a lot of events, a lot more than I've been to in the past.
This year, yeah.
You know, we went to TumbleCon last year. We didn't make it to War Store Weekend that we wanted to, but I ended up going to TempleCon, ReaperCon, AdeptiCon.
That's all this year. Last year, we went to TempleCon and Gen Con.
And Gen Con, yeah. And at these events, we got to interact with a lot of people. Who I never would have even tried to interact with before. people, Jessica Rich, you know, a fantastic painter. Elizabeth Beckley, who we mentioned earlier, who's going to be coming to Montreal, superhuman being, great painter. You know, Mr. Justin and I have talked a few times since Adepticon now. You know, I got to meet Caleb Wisenbach and Aaron Lovejoy and Jennifer Haley, all these amazing people, and only to find out that they're pretty much just like us. They're a bunch of geeks who like gaming and like talking about gaming. So, and I guess it's because we're so used to celebrities we see in, you know, Hollywood celebrities, that we kind of expect anyone who's got any kind of fame, even if it's in a small niche market, we kind of expect them to be aloof and whatever. And that's totally not what I got at all from anyone. You know, if I walked up to someone and said, hey, you know, I've got a small podcast up in Canada. We talk about, we're a generalized gaming podcast. You want to talk to me on it? Sure, no problem. You know, Jim Wapple messages me probably once a week, just kind of checking in, seeing how things are going. And we're still trying to get him on the show. And he wants to be on the show. It's just a matter of timing because he's got so much going. You know, if you paint like a machine like he does, plus you're doing Gen Con and all these things, you don't have a lot of free time. But it's been a really good experience, and it's really opened my eyes to a lot of things behind the scenes. You know, and you get to talk to people. You know, having Meg stay with me and talk to me about professional painting, and then going to these cons and sitting down with, you know, Jessica and Jim and talking to them, you get to see a whole side of the business you don't see as a consumer and as a gamer. And it's super interesting. I mean, a lot of stuff I can't share because it's private and semi-gossipy and stuff, but it made for a really eye-opening experience. And going down to ReaperCon and hanging out at the Reaper headquarters and seeing how they operate and meeting all the people that run Reaper. And, you know, it is exactly as if, you know, me and the guys here decided we're going to open up a miniature company. That's exactly how I picture our company running. You know, that kind of organized chaos where there's positions, but they don't really matter. And everyone just kind of does their job and it's all good. And, you know, it's very kind of chillax most of the time, unless something goes horribly wrong. Yeah. It was very, very awesome. And, you know, I wouldn't have got to experience that without the podcast.
Yep.
How about you, Antoine? What did you think?
I missed all of those events this year with the new baby. I didn't have a choice, so I still got a bit of that when we went to Gen Con last year, and we're not getting known, but we have more relationships. I've been to TempleCon for 5 years now, something like that, so I've made friends there that I met at Gen Cons, also like Kevin Clark, Ross Thompson.
Yeah, for sure. Kevin.
Yeah. Well,
Sam,
yeah, Sam too. So, people that in the industry, like you mentioned, that are like us, they're geeks also. And that's it. And great people to hang out with, and yeah, chat, for sure, and talk. So, I love that side of it.
Yeah, no, it really, like I said, it really made the experience worthwhile. And you know, this was totally a learning process. If you listen to the podcast from the beginning of the year to now, you can tell we tried things. We started off with good audio and then had a period of bad audio when we were trying to, you know, make things better, and ended up making things worse. Then went back to the old setup, went back to good audio, started doing Skype shows because we had a hard time coordinating people. You know, now we're looking at buying new equipment. So it's a monetary investment that I didn't expect either. You know, I expected, you know, people talk about podcasting. They're like, you know, you listen to any podcast or show a video on YouTube about starting a podcast, they all say, start cheap, the bare minimums, go. And I didn't really do that. And I don't necessarily think I made the wrong decision. I think I started with the right equipment for what we're doing. We ended up with a good production quality. And going forward, I did make a mispurchase at one point along the way. It didn't cost me a lot. You know, in the end, I was out probably about $30 after all said and done. But you know, it gets expensive. You start buying good mics, you know, a good mic, $80 to $100 a mic.
And we're not just two.
Yeah, exactly. And times four. A new mixing board, that we're getting is like a Canadian's probably a $700 investment, you know, but, and we don't monetize the show. So that's all coming out of our pockets, you know, plus computers and time. It's a big time investment to do the show, and not just recording. There's all the editing.
Yeah.
And it's stuff that people don't necessarily see. And the more people we have on the show, the harder it gets to edit. And especially, you know, if you're doing something like the Brandon Palmer episode, you know, we did a Skype call. Brandon was awesome, but it wasn't easy to edit because he was kind of fading in and out on Skype. And there's nothing I can do on my side to fix that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So either I redo the whole 2-hour interview, or I struggle with it editing-wise and try to make it sound as good as I can. But that 2-hour interview probably took 5 hours of fiddling with.
And you have worse ratio time ratio on some of our
episodes. Some episodes are worse than others.
Yeah, when we're all four of us, it's always worse.
Yeah, and since we started doing the Skype, it's actually gotten worse. Because when we're all four of us together in a room, all recording on a single track, we mask a lot of... I mean, there's a lot of gibberish and garbage. People are talking to each other, and I just cut out whole chunks.
But we also have all the same good mics.
That's right, but we also mask each other.
Mm-hmm.
Better. Whereas with the separate audio tracks, I find we pick up, it picks up more. And so we end up with more garbage to filter out. End result is better in a way because it's separate audio tracks and I can edit everyone easier. And if someone's talking over someone, I just mute the track that's talking over. I pick which track is more interesting and I mute one and leave the other one. Or I time shift or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's all more involved.
There's also the research we do for the news and everything, all the documentations, the promotion when we release an episode, all the web stuff.
Yeah, and that's all your stuff, right? That's your end. I do the editing. You do all the web promo and the managing the Facebook, the website. You know, you answer Mike most of the time when he asks questions.
One thing people don't expect, you're the voice of the show. So every time they talk on social media, they kind of expect you answering, but most of the time on social media, I'm the guy answering.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's, oh, can you answer that? And Antoine, but it's Antoine who's answering.
and it's not because I don't do the social media thing.
No, because you answer some of the times. Also,
it's just that you're faster at getting to it.
Yeah.
My work days tend to be kind of crazy a lot of the time.
Yeah.
So. I'll come back, and we have a Facebook chat. I think we've mentioned it before.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll come back, and there's like 85 messages in our Facebook group. Just going through that takes any spare moment I have in the day. I have no time to start going to my Facebook page, go to the log into Geeks of the North. Was there a question? Was there something? Like, and by the time I get to it, it's nighttime, and you've already taken care of it.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, on the Twitter, that's also you. I've just only started using Twitter a bit with the Age of Sigmar backlash because it was interesting to read. I've never... You know, when the internet starts exploding, it's always fun to watch from the outside. You know, make some popcorn. But yeah, you know, you're the social media guy, you're the web guy. I'm just the tech/editing guy.
Well, that's a big part.
And the smooth, sexy voice. Of course, I don't have the
You don't have the French touch?
I don't have the suave French accent. Yes, that's right.
But you have a better voice than all three of us, anyway.
Well, I'm also the only native English speaker.
Yeah.
So it. I should sound better in English than you guys, and if I didn't, it probably means I need to go back to school. Yeah.
Well, listening to some other pure Anglo podcast.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure some we people have set the bar pretty low. I admit. But yeah, so you know the costs, all these things I didn't expect.
Yeah.
But we and what we've learned over the year. I mean,
as you mentioned, we didn't go cheap. Either to get the quality we have.
No, that's true. We invested some money, and my editing has gotten more complex. Like if I was just editing the way I was at the beginning, where I was just cutting out sections of which mostly is produced by me, you know, then that would edit quick.
Yeah.
You know, but the fact that I'm sitting there and I try to clean up all background noise. I try to filter out stuff. I try to adjust volumes on the fly. I've made it a more intense job for me.
Yes.
And I don't regret that. I think the last few episodes have been pretty good audio quality wise, and I'm pretty happy. But again, it's a time sink. It's a big time sink, and we already have a ton of hobbies, so it's a balancing act. If you may notice, in the last 6 months, the amount of games and stuff I get in and painting I do has gone down because my free time is often used to edit episodes.
Yeah, and work and family didn't help in both the last 6 months. But the first 6 months were pretty good. We were releasing almost every 2 weeks.
Yeah, for sure.
Pretty steady. But after Christmas...
I think we've caught up a bit near the end because we were falling way behind.
Yeah.
Like at one point, it looked like we were only going to release like 15 episodes or 14 episodes for the whole year. And we did 18, so I don't think we did that bad for our first foray out. You know what? Let's do something. If you had to pick one highlight from the year, all the shows we did, all the people we met, what was it?
It's hard to pick one.
So pick two.
Yeah, I'll pick two. The first is easy. Gen Con. Just going to Gen Con with you, the travel, and seeing the grandeur of Gen Con, how big it, and crazy it is. It's not just good, it's too much of it also.
Yeah,
but it's was kind of over the top. Really cool. And the other thing is just the hanging with you and the guy time. All the... We still hobbied together and game together once in a while. But with a podcast, we air quotes, don't have a choice to hang out more. But that's time that I can pass with my friends that is really fun. And I get more time.
Well, there's nothing else to do, right? There's no family, no other responsibilities.
So no, not just that. I enjoyed the group.
No, for sure.
Yeah, and it makes, like you mentioned, the hangouts. Not the hangouts, but just the Facebook group. How many messages do we produce per week? It's crazy.
Oh, it is insane. Yeah,
and the hubby hangouts we do at night on the Google Hangout to chat and paint, and when most of the time we don't even hubby and we just chat.
Yeah. But you know what? We should get some, we should try to do something like that, but with the listeners.
Yeah. Well, we mentioned that.
Yeah. I think we should actively try to do that in the upcoming year. Try to do some more social activities.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that'll help build the listenership too.
Yeah. But I think that's the two things that stand out. There was a bunch of stuff I like. It was a fun run and will still be, but I think those two stand out. And you?
I think, okay, if I had to pick two things this year, it's tough. I think pulling off the Meg Maples masterclass.
Yeah, that was all on you.
It was a big one, and it went so well. I mean, don't forget, it was our last class in North America, right? So we had people flying in from California. It was crazy. It was a big class. I think it was like 20 students or something, 18 to 20 students in the end. So it was a big class, spending time with Meg, just that whole planning thing, right? And it all started in the midst of the Gen Con explosion.
Yes.
Where there was some colorful language and... But anyway, so that was interesting because it, not only because the event was fun, but because it made me feel like I accomplished something, right? I managed to get that off the ground and get it going. Second thing, I think it's going to be ReaperCon this year. Spending all that time with the artists was awesome. So much so that I'm still getting friend requests on Facebook from people that are at the show because they just assume I'm someone important. One guy friended me this week on Facebook, actually, and I'm like, I don't know this guy. You know, so he sends me a friend request. I'm like, I don't know who this is. So I start looking, and he's friends with like Jessica Rich and Rhonda Bender and stuff. So I add him, and then I kind of like, you know, hey, what's up? I see you added me. And he's like, yeah, you know, I saw you were at ReaperCon. I'm like, well, I was an attendee at ReaperCon. He's like, oh, weren't you an instructor? Like, no, I was just hanging out with the instructors pretty much 24/7. I was not an instructor myself. Oh, all I could think to myself was, yeah, I bet now you feel stupid. You've got this random Canadian on your friends on Facebook. Like, What's the, you know, what's the common courtesy? How long do I have to wait before I unfriend him? Totally think that's what's going through his head. But no, I think it was great, and getting to meet all these people and, you know, and interact with them for 3 days in a really 100% relaxed social environment was outstanding. Because it's not like Gen Con, where they're constantly swamped by 50,000 people. I mean, ReaperCon's a tiny con, right? It's like 600 people, and they're all dedicated hobbyists. So it just builds a completely different vibe. So I thought that was really awesome.
Yeah, that's the one with TempleCon, Adepticon, and ReaperCon that you went this year, and the guys went too. That's the one I think. Yeah, I'm sad. I'm the most.
I think next year we have to find a way to make it happen. Like that.
I'm
disappointed.
Disappointed. I missed. Yeah.
I think we have to find a way to make it happen. I think Geeks of the North have to go to Texas next year. We'll find a way.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure you'll be probably able to go.
We'll see.
It might fit again with your work travel.
Yeah.
Who knows?
If I'm lucky enough, yeah. But I doubt I'll be that lucky. And I know we sent a shout out to the listeners and stuff to kind of ask us, you know, some questions for the anniversary show. And I guess we can go right into that now, unless you have something else you want to add for the first part.
No, I think that's
okay. So, are we really doing this question I see here? Were we so desperate that the only person that asked this question worth answering is our co-host?
Well, most of the people asked about our highlights for the year.
So we kind of covered that.
We already covered it because we were going to talk about those anyway.
Right.
So, Yom did ask more specific questions.
Right, so... Yom wanted to know, you know, we both play a lot of games. Are there any games you regret buying into? And this was asked as a follow-up to something I'd said while we were talking in private about how sometimes I wish I'd never expanded out of 40K. You know, back in 2004, I wish I'd never branched off anything else. And that's simply because it's overwhelming, and I've fallen so far behind. I could live to be 160, and I will never get all that stuff painted, right? So that's why I'm going to try to thin the herd at home. It just doesn't make sense. You know, when it starts getting to a point where it's starting to cause friction with your spouse, not because you're buying the stuff, but because it just takes so much room, it's everywhere, it's constantly overflowing. Yeah. So, I think it's a pretty astute question. Are there any games I regret buying into? Now, I'm sure Yom would expect me to say War Machine. Horde.
Kinda.
Yom just said kinda in the background if that didn't get picked up by the mic. But that's totally not the case. I don't regret buying into War Machine Hordes. I regret maybe buying, you know,
so much
four War Machine factions and three Hordes factions. I think maybe one or two of each would have been okay. This regret's a strong term. I'm thinking maybe, you know, a lot of the secondary games like Firestorm Armada. I like the models, but I never get to play it. Uncharted Seas. It was big for like a week and a half and then just kind of disappeared. You know, it's got Spartan syndrome. Spartan comes out with a game, supports it for like a month, and then forgets about it, comes out with a new game, supports it for a month, then forgets about it.
Yeah.
Dystopian Legions, you know, another great Spartan game that'll probably never go anywhere because they've moved on to, now they're doing the Halo stuff, right? It's their typical, anyway. But yeah, most of my problem is not the buying games, it's buying too much. You know, I don't need 8 Malifaux crews. I've played 3 games of Malifaux my whole life. You know, even 40K, if I look at that, I don't need 7 or 8 armies, whatever I have. And we're not talking small armies here. No. I think the smallest thing I have is well over 2,000 points. I've got, let's see, Eldar and Tau, my Ultramarines, which is like 10 or 12,000 points, the Mechanica stuff I bought, Sisters of Battle, my Imperial Guard.
Didn't you get a bunch of the Dark Angels when they released Dark Vengeance?
Yeah, well, I had... Dark Angel. Well, technically, I painted them as Ultramarines because I was using them for my my Deathwing army, right? So I guess that's a separate army, but it kind of melds into my first one. No, so that's seven armies.
And you got your Chaos Demons for Fantasy to be able to play them in 40K too.
No, actually, I got them to be do a Chaos Legions list from the Glotkin book because I want to do a whole Khorne list. Technically, I could use them in the. I have the 40K because I buy all the 40K codexes for reading. So I have the Demonkin one that came out. That's the whole Khorne list. So I could technically base them on round and use it to play 40K, but I don't know if I'll do that. I haven't really decided. Even fantasy is another great game, right? I got High Elves, Wood Elves, Tomb Kings, Chaos Warriors, and Chaos Demons. I think that's it. That's five fantasy armies. All at least 2,000 points. That's a lot of models. If you think about it, that's at least 100 models a list, if not more. That's 500 models. And that's not counting the inventory room right at home. Anyway. Oh, I forgot Grey Knights. I have Grey Knights as well for so that's seven, eight, or I don't know. Whatever it was, it's a lot. So yeah, there's no game I specifically regret buying into. I regret having so much of stuff that I can't get to a lot of the things I might want to try. You know, my Vitear, we talk about my Vitear all the time. And I'd love to get them out and paint them, but it's I have a choice. I can either finish stuff I'm working on or start something new.
Yeah.
And I've got so many unfinished projects. I have three shelves of unfinished projects at home and like 8 foot long, 1 foot deep shelves filled from the front of the shelf to the back. And then I have Rubbermaid drawers, like those bins on wheels there, like three, four drawers. I have three of those full of assembled, primed, half-painted models. It's completely insane. So I need to know that. So to answer your own question, no, I don't regret any game I've bought. I just regret buying so much of every game I've bought. What about you, Antoine?
I don't mind adding a ton of game that I don't really get to play because they provide hobby time anyway.
Yeah, for sure. There's an enjoyment of painting the models.
And just collecting. I'm probably have a bit of an order side. A bit. But a game, they're probably the only game. It's not a regret. I got it. I shouldn't have got it, but I don't really regret it. Is getting the Wolves on the
Right.
steampunk game from. Who is it doing? Micro Studio is doing it, or
Is it Micro
no, it's not Micro. Another company who do
Let's try to type
spaces
quietly as
stuff
we
like
look
this.
this up and try to look
Yeah.
professional.
No.
It is Micro Art Studio.
Oh yeah. Okay. I
Yeah.
wasn't. All right. Okay. Well, some miniatures. So they did a Kickstarter to
Yeah,
launch
and
it.
didn't you use some of the terrain from that on the
On the
Unlam Port Town
for the
board?
Brushfire
Yeah, for
demo
Brushfire
board,
Tactics.
yeah, and most of the reason, the main reason I got into the Kickstarter was to get the terrain, but might as well jump in and get a rule book and one of their starter, but and I haven't even opened the starter, so I've read through the rule book. I didn't strike me as bad or good, just read quickly through it, but the terrain I like, but the models I don't see any reason to even use it
Yeah, you know what?
or unpack it.
Brushfire might be the one game I kind of regret buying stuff for. And not because the game is not cool. I think the rule book was a lot of fun to read.
Yes.
I liked a lot of the concepts. The models
Yeah, the
on
quality of the models
Yeah,
was
and
probably
me, I
really
think
good.
it wasn't even all of them. I have the I think it's called the Valkyrie or the Valkyr. It's a robotic armored suit that's run by a little like ferret gerbil engineer in it, right? The concept is cool. The suit is cool. It's cast in resin. It is mold slipped and miscast all over the place. That one I can, it's tough, but I could live with it. What really got me was trying to glue together the hamster berserkers.
Yeah, the tiny axe
The
handles.
so tiny, everything bending all over the place, and there's It was tough.
I was lucky. Most of the stuff I got for them was metal.
Yeah.
So all the mice I got were all metal for
my. Well, the hamsters were metal too, but they're like spindly.
But the axe handles are so tiny.
And the axes are three times the size of the arm, right? So you've got this little tiny metal spindly thing holding this giant axe, which gave a cool effect on the model.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just troublesome to make it all work together.
Yeah. In the quality section, I probably regret more getting the Endless Fantasy Tactic models. The first run, first Kickstarter.
Yeah, that was tough too. That's true.
I like the rules. I like the concept. But the models from the first batch are...
And the thing is, it's not all the model. It's the faces. Me, it's the eyes and stuff that got me where they tried to sculpt the pupils.
They switch sculptors.
Yeah, and they helped
some
a
of
lot.
The stuff in the second, the later batch. And I liked them a lot more. But they also got a lot better in the casting department. Because they switched to home casting when they first did the first run. And they didn't have the same experience they got now.
Yeah, no, for sure.
So they've like learned a lot. The Mandragora I got for their second Kickstarter
was an awesome
was
fig.
Really good.
And that's up on Zunyan, isn't it? Zunyan.
Yes. Zunyan.net.
So we should check that out because that is an awesome example of a model for their line now. Their first stuff. Like I got the Alchemist, I think it was.
Yeah.
It's the one with the glasses and they're on her nose and they sculpted pupils. So the pupils actually stick out kind of up to the glass frame, like the frames of the glass. Like it's weird. It looks all strange.
Yeah.
The pugilist, the squire, and I think the mage or whatever, the little girl mage.
I can think of the name, but yeah, I know what you mean.
Anyway, sorcerer, maybe? No, the sorcerer was the one with the staff and the weird...
And the garlic clove. Yeah. So that's the sorcerer.
Anyway, so the concepts were cool. But yeah, the execution was a little rough. And again, the rules were amazing.
Yeah.
Or at least fun.
Yeah.
There were some balance issues at first there with the...
Yeah.
But every game has that, right? And I don't know if you saw, but Emily, the owner of the company, posted a sneak peek picture of what looks to be a phone game.
A phone game?
Yeah.
Oh, the color variant with the sorcerer and the...
No, I think they're coming out with a tactics game for Android or iPhone or something. Hold on, let me go to Emily Fontana's page.
Are you sure you're not thinking about the... What you saw, I think, might be the... A two-player starter set cover.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
I got all excited because I thought, oh my god, they're going to release a game.
No, they are talking about doing an app to do list construction and stuff like that. And real reference. But I think the art piece you mentioned is the two-player starter set cover. Mm-hmm. Because I follow them everywhere. So.
Yeah, and things I'm not seeing it on the picture I saw. I'm not seeing on her page.
Look on the limb, maybe, or Endless Fantasy Tactics. They have their own page for the group. Probably that here.
It's like a slime, and he looks like he's standing on a raised platform or something. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's the two-player starter set cover.
Oh. I saw this other picture of... it looks like an entrance to a dungeon or whatever. And there's a guy standing outside and he's holding a sign like you see the amusement park, where you're in the amusement park, it says you have to be this high to ride the ride.
Yeah, that's for an expansion.
And it's like you have to be this tall to be an adventurer or something like that?
Something like that, yeah, I saw that.
That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, so Wolfsong. As you mentioned, maybe some of the Spartan games, I don't regret getting into Uncharted series because when it came out, we played it a lot. Like I was playing it 3 or 4 games a week. And getting my ass beat each time with my elf. I don't think I ever won a game with the elf. Oh yeah, one against Guillaume with a crazy wacky scenario that if I started, I was winning anyway. So it didn't. I don't count it as a fair game. But Firestorm Armada, I got in with a buddy who likes more sci-fi game, and I just couldn't get into it. We played once, maybe twice, and the ships I've been sitting in
in storage sense.
Yeah. I have other miniatures that are in storage, or I've been in storage since they were bought and they were out of shrink wrap. But I don't regret getting them because one day I see myself painting them.
Yeah.
But the sci-fi ships, spaceships, I won't do anything with that.
Yeah, I hear you. All right.
Yeah. But so on game side instead of miniature, no. I only see really awesome. The other games, they are, at least were great to read. Or
yeah, it's always interesting to read a rule set and read the fluff and see what, you know, what ideas people are throwing out there. So what's coming? Where does Geeks of the North go from here? So it's at this time that Antoine and I would like to announce that we are retiring. No, I'm just kidding. So actually, we're looking at expanding a little bit. One of the things we've talked about doing is opening up a YouTube channel and doing some more in-depth game reviews where people can watch us play top-down camera and side cameras, you know, do some different angles, and we can walk through rule sets. Who knows, maybe someday we'll even do something with our frenemies over at One Plus Armor.
We still owe them a game.
We still owe them a game. Now we don't know what we're going to play, though.
I talked about that with Andrew this week.
Oh, okay.
And they're all to still play 8th edition. So we just need to find a time that will work. That's the hard part.
Yeah. Well, I think Andrew is getting married or just got married. Don't remember.
I don't think so. Maybe.
Pretty sure it's coming up.
Oh, okay, maybe. Anyway,
or just happened. Or
I probably I might have missed that.
And who moved to Montreal? The Nick?
Nick's wife.
Nick's or wife. Yeah. Nick's, so Nick's in Montreal visiting on the weekends and stuff. Yeah, because he's still living out in Ottawa.
Yeah, for another year.
Yeah, and he's commuting. Comes down on weekends or whatever. So, which means we should probably find a way to hang out with him and do something.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know, we randomly talk to him on Facebook. It probably should be social. Take him for good puts in or something. I don't know.
Oh, something. Right. And maybe twist Andrew's arm and make him come down with Nick a weekend and play.
You can try twisting Andrew's arm. I get the impression that's not easily done.
I'm sure. He loves Montreal.
Yeah.
Who doesn't? We just promise.
Hot women, good food.
Yeah, exactly the woman part. We just promise a run on St. Catherine after the game.
Yeah, exactly.
He'll come down.
Exactly.
Pretty quick.
We know his weakness. Maybe we should run him in St. Catharines before the game. Get him out of wind and tired out. Yeah, so a YouTube channel is something I want to develop. And also, I think what we do is it'd be cool to live stream our podcast recordings.
I'm not sure about that.
Oh, I think it'd be fun. With all the, I mean, people can still, we'll still do the podcast. People download the podcast, get the edited version. But if people are bored and want to watch us make total asses of ourselves, I mean, we can do it, you know, live in front of a studio audience. And we're also looking into actually having a studio.
Yeah.
Like a dedicated space, so not lugging mixing boards and stuff all over the place or doing Skype shows. One location. Think kind of like Beasts of War done on a poor man's budget. Yeah. Something like that. Which I think will help production quality, consistency, and
might make scheduling a bit harder, but for the rest, we'll compensate.
Yeah. We'll see. We try stuff. We see what happens.
And anyway, we need a studio part for the, at least for the video side.
Yeah.
Even if we don't record all the podcast there.
Yeah, exactly.
We need it anyway, so.
Yeah. Because I don't want to install ceiling cams to everyone's house.
Yeah, do remote games.
Yeah, exactly. Record on Ubi and stuff. Can you imagine how boring that would be to watch people playing on Ubi or Ubi, whatever you call it, the game simulator? They use it for fantasy and stuff, to do simulated games for practice games and stuff.
Ubi,
yeah, I think that's what it's called. Well, there's also is it Vassal? Is the other one?
Okay, I know of Vassal. Didn't know of the other one.
Yeah, there's another one that people use. But yeah, it's do simulations. I know Chris Haynes was talking about, because he's doing practice games for the ETC. Can you imagine that? It's like watching someone play a turn-based video game.
Yeah,
it'd be like watching someone play Civilization.
Watching most battle reports, I have a hard time watching because it's real time and I just want highlights. I love podcasting because I have a lot of time, free time without a screen.
Yeah.
But the time I have with a screen most of the time is work time. And yeah. I cannot watch a video. I can listen to audio or on the train and stuff like that.
Well, that's the joy, I think, of the way we're going to do it is yeah. when we do it, it'll be natural. You can just listen to audio. You don't need to watch video. And if we discuss something and we're talking about it and you decide, oh, that sounds interesting, you can watch the video for that 10, 15 seconds mm-hmm. and then go back to just treating it like an audio stream right while you're painting. Because again, I think our overall goal is still to give people something to do while they're working on their hobby stuff.
Yeah. That's
the right. We're the background noise. We're the white noise of hobby. hopefully we don't put people to sleep. So yeah, that's where, you know, stuff I'm working on for the year. Also, I want to do more events.
Yeah.
More things like the master classes, like I'm trying to organize with Liz Beckley. I want to try to get, you know, Matt Fontaine. We've talked with him before about it. He's local. It should be easier. But we need space, and we're working on something for space to try to make all this stuff happen. So hopefully it works out.
Yeah.
And Antoine, I think you had something you wanted to talk about.
Well, the first year is done. We haven't really played with the format
right.
of the segment. We added the small cool stuff found.
Yeah, that you forgot about? Your segment you added and
no,
you forgot?
No, I was thinking you were thinking... I talked to you were thinking about what I'm going to talk right now. So that's why I changed phase and you had that reaction. I was not looking at the right part in the doc when you started, and that's why I almost freaked out. No, we might play a bit with the format of the show in the coming year.
Okay.
It's been a year. We've changed. We know the hobby section sometimes is maybe a bit long.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because we don't do battle reports or stuff like that, but we...
I think battle report by podcast would be kind of...
That would be even more boring than watching a 3-hour fantasy game. Yeah. No, but we might add stuff like the cool stuff found. That's not a news. That's not hobby.
So. Yeah, and it takes 2 seconds.
It's it takes 2 seconds. So that's interesting. And our tagline is the hobby and gaming podcast.
Right.
And some of the time, the hobby section is a bit weak compared to others. And so that's why I'm looking at adding a hobby tip of the episode or something like that.
Okay.
A small segment on the show where we'll concentrate like how to do a quick way, how to do blood effects or wet palette, how to do your own handmade and wet palette maybe.
Right.
And quick stuff like that, that it's not worth a full main topic.
You know, how to do non-metallic metal gold.
Oh, yeah. That's a quickie. Two minutes, we're done. 2 minutes audio.
Yeah, exactly.
And we're done. Yeah.
Paul style.
Yeah.
I guarantee what you produce will look like what I produce when I try doing non-metallic metal.
Yeah.
It'll be an accurate representation.
That's a first change, and we might add others.
As time goes on, of course.
Year, yeah.
Right. The show changes and evolves.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And we'll see also with the other guys. They jump in every other episode, maybe. Yum and Steve. They might have other ideas also. And we're open to new ideas from the listeners. I might mention doing maybe an intro to a game, like pick a game every episode or every other episode. Like, let's say War Machine. What do you think is a good way to start the game? Which faction? How would you do a small point army for that game, maybe? So
right.
Let's say we pick for War Machine. You pick Circle because that's what you're playing right now when you play. And I'll pick Pigs. And okay, smallest point size playable is maybe 15, 25 points. And we go and say why we like that faction and how we would help someone start into it or something like that.
Yeah, that could be cool.
We play so many games that we could go...
Keep busy for a while.
Before we're done.
I just try to imagine what Steve's hobby section of the week would, or hobby tip of the week would be. It'd probably have to like be with picking the right beer for the right hobby project.
Oh, probably. Maybe the beer of the week with Steve. We could add that.
Sesame seed. You just mentioned the sesame seed basing incident. Poor Steve.
Yeah.
Didn't we also bring that up in the Meg Maples episode?
And yes, she was we like, did.
What the hell?
Yes, we did.
We are bad people.
We're good friends.
Well, I don't know if Yom thinks I'm a good friend. That's still up for debate.
Yeah. And I think that's about it. I really enjoyed this year. It was something new for me. I never did anything media related.
And you were all nervous when we started.
Oh yes, I was. I still find my audio quality poor and my accent so dumb. Just while we record right now, each time I forget an S for a third person verb, it sticks in my head. Ah, no, I forget that. Or in French, most of the plurals we don't pronounce.
Yeah.
But in English, you pronounce them.
Yeah.
And I forget them, or I add some at a place there shouldn't be. And each time I notice after, and I'm dumb.
Well, no one sent me any emails to get rid of you, so I think you're doing
not
okay,
yet.
Man.
Not yet, but might be coming. Who knows?
Yom, on the other hand, we've had some stuff. But, you know, I like him, so I keep him around.
Yeah.
If looks could kill folks.
Sending them yourself.
Yeah, I had to send it from my phone email address to my work email.
Well, Andrew started an hashtag to get Yom out of the show.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
I missed that.
He did that a while back.
Because I know... there was Make Steve a Geek or whatever.
Also. But at the same time, Yom commented something on Make Steve a Geek, and there was an answer with get Yom out or something like that.
Well,
I didn't get any traction. You're fine.
I would have retweeted that one.
No, you were not yet reactive on Twitter.
I was coasting on Twitter.
Yeah.
It was so funny, because when the Age of Sigmar stuff came up, I had to try to remember what my login was. Used it so long. 30 minutes, I'll never get back.
Yeah, no.
All right, I think we're rambling a bit now. So shall we wrap this up?
Yep, for sure.
Any shout-outs?
Yes, I want to thank and mention them again. La Drave, which is a tradpunk band. They are the guys who are providing our breaks and outro music. And it's been a year we've been using those two or three music pieces. So we'll probably switch them around, maybe to change them a bit. But we'll keep the same intro as usual, but we'll play with the breaks and the outro.
Cool.
So let you learn or hear something new.
Oh, it doesn't matter. I actually like their music, so it works out well.
Me too, but...
Yeah, no, and again...
It's fun because they're mentioned once in a while. Like, oh, I like the French semen tune you have or something like that.
Well, they've got a cool sound.
Yes.
Even if you don't understand the language, their sound is unique.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what makes it cool. Yeah, and it's awesome that they let us use their music. I mean, I know you're friends with them or friends with one of the members of the band.
Or friend with one of the members, yeah.
So that's pretty awesome. We'll have to see what we do with that in the year to come. And also, I just want to give a shout out to the rest of the I almost called them the wrong thing. It used to be the Geekcast Network.
Oh, yeah, the United.
Now it's United Geeks Network.
Yeah.
You know, Jordan and all them, it's...
Jordan and, Jeff. I was drawing a blank. Jeff and Jordan were the main guys from the...
United Geeks Network?
Yeah, the United Geeks Network is mostly Jeff, who's running it with other podcasts he have. But the... Both of them have their own main podcast.
Yeah, that's not Two Bald Geeks, right?
No, that's not. I listened to the episode yesterday. So
we suck.
It's getting late. So their show is called All Us Geeks.
Oh, there's All Us. Yeah.
Yeah. So they do mostly board games, but and all thing geeky. So comic book, everything. But Jeff and Jordan are the main guys on All Us Geeks, and Jeff also do most of the work behind the United Geeks Network. Jordan helps also, but Jeff is not the big head, but the main guy. Big head also, maybe. Who knows? I might get some angry email after the show.
Stay tuned for next episode to find out.
Yeah, we might get kicked out of the network.
Now looking for a new network, yeah.
And you mentioned them previously, but a small shout out to our other Canadian media guys, friends, OnePlus Armor,
Canhammer.
Yeah. Our
memories aren't what they used to be.
That's the main two we do.
Yeah, exactly. It's after midnight and we're fading fast. Yeah. We're old. Well, I'm old. Antoine's old in training.
Oh, yeah. So much younger than you. So much younger.
Yeah, we'll talk when you're 40, buddy.
Yeah.
All right. On that note, I guess we'll sign off. So, see you in 2 weeks.
Bye, geeks.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com. Read our blog at geeksofthenorth.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth. Or follow us on Twitter at geeksofthenorth. You can follow me, Paul, on Twitter at PRFilio. And Antoine at Eltonio Berg. See you in 2 weeks, geeks.
Thank you for checking out a United Geeks Network family member. If you enjoyed it and are looking for other online media with a geek culture slant, head over to UnitedGeeksNetwork.com, where you will find Indie Conquest, a blog helping indie board game designers succeed, providing useful resources from designing games, utilizing Kickstarter, and finally manufacturing and distributing your games. The United Geeks Network. You can broadcast your geekiness at UnitedGeeksNetwork.com.